Discipline is practiced inside this church today. And you'd be encouraged about that. But one thing that I want to speak to you this morning is just one. We may end up doing a midweek study on this. We may talk about this a lot more. But it's important for us to actually understand. We live in a very superficial world today. Everything is fast. We want things fast. We want fast food. Everything has to be fast. We want our prayers answered fast. We want God to answer our prayers really fast. Fast prayers. We want everything quick, 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 quick. Hallelujah. That's the problem today, church. That is the problem with Christians today, or people that are in the kingdom of God. Everything we want is fast. Fast prayer, fast healing, fast blessings. We want to pray now and receive it now. We want to pray now and even receive it tomorrow. And we get just uptight and annoyed when we don't get it. Hallelujah. Everything is so fast. We want it all and we want it now. Remember that song? We want it all and we want it now. Everything has to be now, 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 now. Well, today, this morning, the Holy Spirit is going to totally transform your mind and change your mindset today. I pray that each of us in this building today will receive something from God. Hallelujah. Because that changed me. That changed me a lot. This doctrine of instant satisfaction is the curse of the modern day we're living in now. It is a curse. It's cursing our lives. This fast motion of things, including our lives and including our jobs and our food, the food that we want it cooked really quickly. Hallelujah. That is the reason why many have decided to stop following Jesus, because a lot of them follow him after signs and wonders. And when it doesn't happen, they get discouraged and go, oh, you know what, I've tried this Christianity thing and it doesn't work for me. Have you had people say that kind of stuff? I've had people say, oh, I've done it, I've tried it, didn't work, so I'll move on. Are you kidding me? The kingdom of God is not something for you to try it out. The kingdom of God is for something you live in. It's a lifestyle that you got to live in. You don't try these things out like some kind of religion or, oh, that doesn't taste good, so I might just try this one. Or this guru doesn't float up in the air too good, so I might try this guy that sits on the carpet and floats around. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying today? People are after something that they want to see, to believe. Hallelujah. But Jesus said one thing. He said, blessed are those who have not seen but yet believe. Hallelujah. You know, the angels look at us right now and are amazed, because they know the disciples, they know the 12, they know the people that actually walked and talked, eat and slept and moved around with Jesus Christ. And then they see us. And they go, these guys have not seen Jesus. They have not had any relationship at all with him physically, but they believe. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what the word of God says. And Jesus keeps saying, only believe. I hear people say things like that. I've tried it and I just don't want it anymore. Listen, this is not something for you to try. No. It is something for you to live. You got to live it. Hallelujah. Amen. It's got to become part of your culture. There's no other culture in the world except the culture of the kingdom of God. Amen? We find ourselves sucked into this superficial world and we begin to think and operate like the world, and yet God wants us to slow down. Slow down, everybody. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you this morning. You must not be led to think that spiritual discipline is only for the spiritual giants. A lot of us think, oh, it's only for the pastors or people like, you know, all those spiritual giants that preach amazing gospel and, you know, run big crusades, and it's only for those that come to prayer meetings and get involved in the ministry in the church. You know what? I want to encourage you today. This is not just for the spiritual giants. God intends the disciple or the discipline of the spirit of life to be for ordinary, normal people like yourselves. Hallelujah. Normal human beings, people like you, have jobs, who look after children, who wash dishes, do laundry, fix cars, teach at the school, go to universities. No more people like yourselves and me. Spiritual discipline is for every one of us sitting in this room today. As a matter of fact, the spiritual disciplines are first exercised in the midst of our relationship. It's best exercised in the middle of our relationship with each other. A man and a woman, a father and a son, a family, a boss and his workers. All this can be exercised inside the very place where God has actually called you to be. Hallelujah. The purpose of discipline is to liberate you from this slavery of self-interest and fear. We fear things. And when you fear something, you try to protect yourself. Hallelujah. Joy must be the key to spiritual discipline. Spiritual discipline wasn't meant to destroy the joy in the world today. It's not supposed to be for people that are so over-righteous and holy and walk around like they're sucking on lemon juice. There's no smile, everything is... You know what I'm saying? It wasn't meant to destroy that in your life. What did we sing this morning? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Everything that we do in the kingdom of God must have those fruits. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Those spiritual disciplines should not destroy that. We're too scared. A lot of people are too scared to get too holy because they might not become like they used to be. If you walk around like a person that's sucking on lemon juice all the time, you will chase a lot of people away from you. You know what I'm saying? I'm one of those guys that just love to hang around and laugh. Laughter must be part of my life. I'm just a joyful, joyous guy. I laugh at everything. I laugh at life. Because life is, you know why? Because I know where I came from. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. And I know where I'm going. So life doesn't bother me. People don't bother me. And you hear me say this all the time. Be delivered from people. Because people will be your friends one day and then the greatest hindrance in your life the next day. Hallelujah. And that's why God says righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The purpose of discipline is to liberate you. Hallelujah. When your inner spirit is liberated, it sets you free. Amen. Singing, dancing, laughing, shouting, even jumping up and down and doing somersaults. That's joy. People express joy in different ways. Amen. I know Mama Evelyn comes up and jumps off the stage. Oh, you didn't see that one. That freaked us all out. We're sitting there, what's she going to do now? She walks up here and walks over there and jumps over there. And I thought, my goodness. And she said to me, if there was a coconut tree, I'll climb it. People express joy in different ways. In PNG, people get so excited about the worship. They carry chairs. Anything that is not bolted down or screwed down or tied down, they will take it off and dance with it. Hallelujah. That's the way of expressing the joy inside of them. The joy is so much that you cannot express it by the words. Your actions have to do it. Yeah. And so I find myself doing stuff like that. Running from one side of the stage to the other. People say, man, that guy's crazy. No, I'm not. I'm just happy. I need to show it. Some people say, oh, I'm dancing inside. You dance inside, brother. Dance inside all you want. I'm dancing outside right now. Hallelujah. When we first started this church, sorry, I'm still introducing my message. When we first started this church, we loved to sit up there. And Paul, you'd know, we'll laugh and joke and just laugh so loud that they had to send police over here to tell us to shut up. Keep it down because the neighbors are complaining from outside. So what is wrong with these people? They hear laughter coming from this building all the time. And so that's really what it is. The discipline that you have in Christ should not destroy that. If it does, then you are not following it the way it's supposed to be followed. So ladies and gentlemen, the important thing to remember is this. Spiritual discipline is not hard. It is not hard. You don't have to be a well-advanced person in theology to understand it. You don't have to go to Bible college to study those things. Those things are the fruit of the Spirit. They're inside of you. They're the character of God. God created you in His image, in His likeness, and everything inside of Him is in you. When you look in the mirror, you see God. Your face, when you talk to your neighbor, you see God. Hallelujah. So it's really easy. Both new Christians and old should be practicing it. In Psalm 42:7, verse 7 says, deep calls to deep. Somewhere deep inside our chamber of life, we want some discipline. Amen? Every person sitting here today wants some sort of a discipline. How do we get it? Let me just shed some light on two realities and difficulties that we face today on getting into those disciplines. And one of them is the world we live in, the material age that we live in. Those are distractions that get us away from the spiritual disciplines that we want in our life. And number two is the second one is we simply don't know how to do it. Well, let me just destroy that in your mindset today. God called ordinary people like you and myself, Paul, Moses, Abraham, just ordinary people to practice these disciplines. Hallelujah. And there was no school to teach them how to do it. What are these disciplines? Well, I'm touching on meditation today. But there's prayer, there's fasting, there's worship. These are the inward disciplines that we have in our lives. And then there's this meditation, which I'm going to really point and address today. Those things don't have rules. There's no rules on what you should eat or what you should not eat before you fast or what should you do after you break fast. There's no written law. Jesus said, this one comes out of what? By prayer and fasting. He didn't say, now go and do fasting, start eating that apple and finish on the grape. He didn't say that. He said, just fast. Because those kind of problems don't come out until you fast. Hallelujah. They don't tell you how to fast. So that means that you and I have no excuse. Well, you don't go to a school to learn how to fast. When they say fast, stop eating. Easy. Just drink lots of water. Hallelujah. And when you break fast, that's what you eat, that you break the fast. Hello. Very simple. So you don't have to worry about those things. Everyone can do it. Hallelujah. Let me just do that now. The Lord Jesus never gave instructions to the disciples on how to fast. He just said, go and fast. Jesus simply said, he replied, this kind can come out only by prayer and fasting. He mentioned two spiritual disciplines. He didn't show them how to do it. Fasting was so common that no one had to ask what to eat before the fast or how to break a fast. Everyone already knew. Everybody knew. It was the culture of the day to fast. I pray the Holy Spirit will teach us something this morning. I want to talk about ingrained habits, and that's the thing that the disciplines can break. Every one of us, Bible says you are born into a sin-damaged world, a sin-filled world. Every person from a baby born into sin. And so there is ingrained habits inside our lives. Things that we used to do before that's hard to be broken. Am I talking to somebody here this morning? Hallelujah. What is an ingrained habit? Well, I was going through the dictionary and I checked two words. Ingrained means to introduce one thing into another so as it to affect it throughout, mentally, physically, or spiritually. It's like a dye. If you get a clean white cloth and you put it inside a dye, and the dye takes over the color of this cloth, and the cloth becomes like the dye. That's really what ingrained habits is. It's ingrained into our spirit, into our lives. Hallelujah. A simple physical example is the dye. A habit is something that you do often or regularly. Hello, somebody. Something that you do every time. You just do it. That's a habit. And when it's ingrained inside our lives, it's really, really hard to come out. It's really hard to be broken. And so a lot of people are first, each and every one of us should relate to this. We often refer to sin as individual acts of disobedience to God. There is no bigger sin than the other. Every sin is the same. A sin of fornication is the sin of lying. A sin of adultery is the same as murder. Sin is sin. There is no sin bigger than any sin. Hallelujah. Paul refers to sin as the condition that plagues the human race. Sin is a condition that works its way through the body, the bodily members, that, my friends, it's ingrained inside our spirit, in our body. Romans chapter 7 says, verse 5, for when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful natures or the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. There is no slavery that can compare to the slavery of ingrained habits. That's why I'm going to talk about spiritual discipline today, because that's the thing that can destroy ingrained habits in our lives. Hallelujah. The Bible says the seed does not do anything. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 20, but the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast out what? Mire and death. All the rubbish comes out when the sea is moving. The sea doesn't have to do anything special to bring out all the muck and the mud and the clay. It's just normal day-to-day movement of the sea brings that out. Our lives are like that. Our normal day-to-day living brings out some muck inside ourselves. There's stuff that inside of you that you don't know it's there. You think it's gone, but it's there. And just from the normal day-to-day living, our lives, sometimes those things come out of us. Hallelujah. Yeah. The Bible says in Job 5:7, it says, yet a man is born to trouble as surely as the sparks fly high. Whenever the sparks fly high, a man was born for trouble. All of us sitting here in this room today have been born into trouble. We've been in trouble at some stage of our lives. Amen? None of us are exempt from that. That's why it is so important to remember this. Sin is part of the internal structure of our lives. No special effort is needed to produce it. No wonder we were trapped. The Bible says we were meant and born to be in trouble. Hallelujah. Let me just share with you that I have discovered in my spiritual walk with God, and more now than my 25 years or 10, 15 years before that. And I said to Pastor Bill, you know, the greatest thing that's ever happened to me as a Christian is when you left. And he said, wow. I said, that's true. And I said, and there are others who can actually vouch for that too, for their own lives. I don't know about your life. I don't know where your spiritual life is. I don't know what your problem is. But I know that something happened to me that I have to step into a place where the words of life must come from me. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart speaks, you know, the mouth speaks. And so standing on this place has to be a place where you've paid the price in spiritual discipline. Very important for us. And not just standing here, but everywhere you are right now, wherever you are, wherever God's called you to be, pay the price for that. Hallelujah. Every Christian's ordinary method of dealing with an ingrained sin is launch a full frontal attack. We pray and we quote scriptures and, you know, I don't know what situation you are, what's in your life, but when that happens, you go into warfare. Every one of us have done that. Have you done that or is it just me? We launch a full frontal attack on this thing. We quote scriptures, we pray, we, you know, everything. And yet it doesn't work. It doesn't work. We rely so much on our will and determination. Whether it's anger, fear, substance abuse, whatever it is that is in your life, pornography, lust, we launch attacks on this thing like we want to take it out. Using what? Our willpower. You know what I always say about willpower? God has given us one of the greatest gifts, and that is a willpower to choose from right or wrong. The same willpower you use to go against God. Very same willpower. God never created us to be robots or machines. He created us to think for ourselves, to become like Him, created in His image. But He gave us a willpower to choose from right or wrong. And sometimes when we launch attacks on those things, we're actually using willpower. And Paul speaks about those willpower, things that we try to, in all our strength, to try and beat this thing, not using the right tools that God has given us, but is using the will that He's given us to try and beat this thing. Two things happen. We find ourselves morally destroyed. Or worse than that, we find ourselves proud of our external righteousness. Hello, somebody. People walk around here, oh, I can do this, I can do that, I've overcome that. outside there's this external righteousness, but inside we are dying morally, dying a moral death, because we cannot win this thing. It keeps coming back. And yet we put a good face in front of everybody. Oh, I'm good. How are you today? I'm on fire, brother. Oh, hallelujah. Inside there's sin. Hello, somebody. It's real, my friends. It's real. We can come here and put on this external righteousness, and Jesus called it the whitewashed tomb. Oh, that's a powerful statement he made. He called his people whitewashed tombs. We put this really nice face, but inside, we're struggling to beat this thing with our own willpower, to keep ourselves from sinning. We're dying inside morally, hallelujah. Whitewash sepulchres, he says. We show a lot of outward righteousness, but inside we are morally bankrupt. There's a lot of Christians today walking around like that, my friends. I was one of those Christians. But the day this baton was handed over to me, something happened to me. I went into a place where I have never been in before. And that is, I disciplined my own spiritual walk. Because we take life for granted. And a lot of us walk around using grace. Oh, I'm under grace. You know, I can sin and God can forgive me. We're using grace now as a license to sin. Hallelujah. You know, this should be a reminder to us all the time. Hallelujah. Paul listed some of the outward forms that people use to control sin. And one of them is in Colossians chapter 2, verse 20 to 23. He says, since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to these rules or to its rules? Is it, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are outward physical rules. These are willpower rules. Don't touch, don't taste, don't smell, don't see. Those are outward physical rules. And then he says, these rules in verse 22, he says, which have to do with the things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body. But they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Hallelujah. Paul saw that. He says, you hear me a lot saying, willpower, willpower. Use your will. God has given you a willpower to choose from right or wrong. Hallelujah. To choose from sin or righteousness. Well, let me just caution you a little bit here, and so you don't get too excited about your willpower. You will fail. Hello, somebody. You will fail because nothing can beat ingrained sin inside your life except the power of the Holy Spirit and the discipline that you bring into your life. When you go to it, when you talk about discipline, when somebody goes into the gym, the Ironman, strongman competition, and Brendan, you've done it before, you don't just build your top part of your body. You must build your legs too, because your legs and your thighs and everything has to have that strength for you to lift this thing. So a lot of people go in there, they build the top part, but the legs are still skinny. And have you seen guys like that? That's a very imbalanced spiritual walk right there. That's the closest example I can give to about discipline. What part of your life are you disciplining? It has to be a balance. Hallelujah. So you don't walk around with your skeleton characters with all his huge, big arm and skinny legs. Oh, I can just imagine that. You build everything because everything has to stand on the foundation to carry. Hallelujah. The moment we feel that we succeed, here's good news for you. The moment we feel that we can succeed and have victory over sin, our own strength alone, is the moment we start to worship what? Our willpower. People walk around worshiping their willpower. Oh, I can do all things in Christ. Really? Inside you're dying morally because you keep going back to the sin. Hallelujah. See, somebody is already agreeing with this message this morning. It's for each and every one of you sitting in this room today. Oh, I can do all things. People quote scriptures like, I can do all things in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Inside they're dying morally dying, because they're fighting this thing inside. Are you with me this morning? Here's why real worship produces an outward show of success for a time, but then there are cracks. Sometimes a loose word comes out of your mouth or your tongue or whatever it is. It comes out of the cracks in your life because the cracks are not properly protected by the discipline that we should have in our lives as Christians. Amen? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Though we may try to hide those things, we are betrayed every time with our eyes, our body movements, our languages, what we do speaks really loudly. People say, oh, you say you are an overcomer, but you still do these things. Why? Because you are an overcomer trying to do it by your own strength and by your own willpower. Hallelujah. So far we have discovered from all I've said that human strivings end in moral bankruptcy. And righteousness is a gracious what? Gift from God. Do we wait for God to come and transform us? And that's the problem there, my friends. Everybody wants to wait for God to come and do something for them. Hallelujah. The conclusion to this problem is this. We do not have to kick ourselves or beat ourselves down for having to fail to walk in righteousness. Neither should we become idle waiting for God to do something in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, this brings me to the topic of spiritual discipline. God has given us a discipline of spirit. Life as a means of receiving grace. These disciplines allow us to place ourselves before God so that He can what? Transform us. A discipline takes you to a place that God can transform you. It's not for you to wait around for Him to come and change you. Coming up here and people, pastors laying hands on you doesn't change you. You still got some work to do. And I can't tell you not to do or what not what to do. Jesus said simple words like, go and sin no more. How can you do that? Yes, you can, because there is a spiritual discipline that you can use in your life to be able to not sin no more. And not use grace as a license to sin. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6 verse 8. Whatever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap what? Eternal life. This discipline, like I said, brings us to a place where God can do His work in our lives. Hallelujah. The disciplines are God's way of getting us into the ground. They put us where He can work with us and transform us. Listen, a farmer doesn't need to do anything. He's in the mercy or at the mercy of the elements. All he can do is put the seed in the ground, create the atmosphere for it or the moisture for it, and then nature takes its care of itself. As soon as the seed goes in the ground, all he does is waters it, make sure it's getting the attention that it needs, and then the seed comes out by itself, boom. Because the nature of the place where it's been planted has given its the seed the ability to actually do that. The farmer didn't make the plant grow. He just placed it in the right place. Your lives and my life is like that. We put our lives in a place where God can move and do His work in our lives. Amen? Hallelujah. Picture a path. I'm talking, I was sharing with the music team today. Picture a path. There's three paths that every Christian is in. There is a path that's narrow, and on the right side, there is a drop. And on the left side, there's another cliff. And in the chasm, it's a place where I discovered that places where Christians normally live. On the right, we have those who try to strive to use willpower to overcome the ingrained habits. On the left, we have those who make no effort at all to change. Because they say, oh, grace is taking care of all the moral sin that we have. And they use grace as license to sin. But in the path in the middle is the path where you and I are supposed to be in. We only bring ourselves into a path where God can actually move and transform our lives. At the end of the day, it's the discipline that brings you there. You can sit around and wait to be changed, or you can rely on grace to be under grace, or you can transform yourself by placing yourself in this path where God can move. I was watching, have you seen the movie Martian? And as I was preparing this message, God said, remember the guy that they had to shoot out of the, he had to shoot out of the Mars atmosphere and comes into the orbit, and he's orbiting around on this planet. But it only takes one push for him to move into a place where the rescue party can actually get him. If he orbits around the same place, they can't reach him. But he did something where it was amazing. I was preparing his message. God said, move yourself into a place where I can move and touch you. Hallelujah. So he did was he punctured something in his spacesuit to create this jet stream. And it pushed him into a place where they could actually reach him. And I thought, wow, you can orbit around sin all your life until you grow old and die. Nothing will change it unless you make the move of stepping into a place where God can reach you. Life is about choice, my friends. Nothing is done. We expect God to come and change us like that. Oh, pray for me, Pastor, because I really need to be changed. I can't change you. I can pray for you and guide you to a place where God himself will change you. I can tell you to go and do some things in your life, practical things, to prepare you to walk into his discipline. Hallelujah. And I want to talk about this meditation this morning. And God challenged me on meditation. Hallelujah. You know, God doesn't need long prayers from us. You don't have to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. God doesn't need long prayers. I've learned one thing about God now, and I'm glad I learned it. And I learned it the hard way too. Hallelujah. There is no longer a struggle in our inner selves from others. What comes out of you should be what? When you put yourself in that place. The fruits of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, our world is so hungry for genuine changed people. Every one of us want to go out and change humanity, but none of us want to change ourselves. That's the problem. We want to go out and do crusades and do this and do that and change people, and yet we can't change ourselves. God is looking for genuinely changed people this morning, church. People that are truly changed, not from the outside, but inside as well. Because we change from inside out. Hallelujah. What are the spiritual disciplines that the first four that we must talk about this morning? And I'm going to really cross through them: meditation, prayer, fasting, and study of God's word. If your life has not changed, if your life has not transformed, if you have not bear the fruits that God wanted you to have, well, I can point it straight to where you are. Prayer, fasting, meditation, and study of God's word. Those are the things that put you in a place of discipline. You don't have to fight these sins anymore when you place yourselves in these disciplines. Prayer, fasting, meditation, and studying his word. Reading his word, hallelujah. I just wanted to touch on meditation and I'll close. A very important discipline. Meditation is the most important aspect of prayer. We forget that all the time. Hallelujah. I was sharing with the museum. God challenged me with this. Many of us love to pray. We talk the legs of the table. We pray and we pray and we pray. And then when we finish, we go. And then we complain that we haven't heard from God. And God says, I wanted to talk, but you keep talking. I wanted to speak, but you didn't give me the chance. You keep giving me instructions. All God is getting from us is instructions, 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 instructions. And he wants to talk. Nobody wants to listen. Listen, my friends, meditation is simply listening to God. Pray for 10 minutes and listen for 60. Listen, I love listening now. My prayers are in the car. I can't pray when everybody's around. It's so hard for me to pray because my prayers are not long. I talk to God because I understand my position in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't have to beg for nothing. I talk to him, and then I listen. I drive around and I listen. Oh, I can tell you, you'll be amazed and surprised what you hear from God these days. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, when God gave me this word, I studied it all the way to Darwin and back. I was in Darwin on the weekend. I flew in Thursday, did a concert with Yothu Yindi, and flew back on Friday. And got excited with the word. I said, thank you, Father. I'm going to release this in the church. And meditation is so important. Hallelujah. You know, I turn up there and everybody wants prayer up there. Oh, can you pray with us before we go on stage? Sure. I love it. I really love this right now. Because now my pastoral role has created some attention in the band. Before I was just a band, the drummer for Yothu Yindi. Now I'm a pastor. I walk in there and go, Pastor, can you pray with me? Sure, sit down. Let's pray. And this is praying before we go on stage. I love it. I love it. Because that's what we plant in the lives of these guys. I get a long list of these guys and pray for them. I came out of a prayer list. People listed my name down on the bottom because they think that I can't be saved first. But I got saved first, and the person up there saved last. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Don't underestimate God's power, my friends. Hallelujah. Our ways are not higher than His ways. His ways are higher. Hallelujah. Pray for 10 minutes, listen for 60. You'll be amazed. Hallelujah. Kingdom meditation is very simple. It is simply the ability to listen to God's voice and obey it. That's the word. Listen and obey. Not just listen. We're good at listening. We're good at talking. But when it comes to obeying, we find it so hard to obey. Kingdom of God meditation is what? Listening and obeying. Hallelujah. God doesn't need long prayers from you. Why? He says, I already know what you want. I already know your needs. Even before you ask, I already know that. And you know, that morning when we had Pastor Peter Shelley here, and he said exactly what I was praying about, giving thanks to God. He comes up here, he says, we seem to be praying too much. Let's change our mindset and just thank God for things now. God doesn't need you to beg for Him. He wants you to pray and thank Him. God, thank you. Thank you that I've got healing in my body. Thank you, hallelujah, that I'm saved. Thank you that every provision has been provided for me. Thank you that I am an heir to your throne. When you understand that, you serve a king that owns everything. You don't pray and beg anymore. You just thank him. Hallelujah. I've changed my mindset of prayer now. Hallelujah. The kingdom meditation is very simple. It involves no hidden mysteries. Hallelujah, church. No secret mantra. No mental gymnastics. No no flights into the cosmic consciousness. Kingdom of God meditation is so simple, my friends. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, the great God of the universe and the creator of all things desire what? Fellowship. That's all He needs from us, fellowship. Fellowship is healthy and good with God and with each other. That's why we come to church. Church is for fellowship. We strengthen one another. We encourage one another. We pray for one another. We interact with one another. Iron sharpens iron. Hallelujah. That's what church is all about. And God is all about fellowship. God walked and talked with Adam until the sin arrived in the world. And then God didn't hide from Adam. God was there looking for Adam. Adam hid from him. Because when you carry sin inside your life, you can't come out and talk to God. And the worst thing is that you run away from God. And God says, I'm trying to change you. But place yourself in a place where I can change you. If you keep running from me, I can't change you. You can't bear the fruits that I'm talking about. Peace, love, joy, righteousness, hallelujah. Those fruits of the Spirit cannot happen in your life when we can place ourselves in a place where God can touch us. How can God talk to you? As soon as you get home, click the television, how can He talk to you? Jump in the car, boom, 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 boom. He can't talk to you. I refuse to, you know, my car doesn't have a stereo. Maybe God did it on purpose. He destroyed the stereo. It doesn't work anymore. I put the CD player in it. Nothing works. I said, you know what? I'll just drive around, no music. And I'm a musician. When I come home, I just want quiet. And I love it because when I'm in quiet in my house, I have to get out for God to speak to me because there's always your children. Dad, do this. Dad. And so God takes me out. You know, sometimes God makes you sick so that you can rest and listen to him. And we go, God, heal me. No, you get sick until I talk to you. You hear me, and then I'll heal you. Sometimes God has to do things to put us in a place where he can speak to us. God is your father. My brothers and sisters today, he is your father, the Abba Father. Jesus gave you that platform to stand and call him Abba Father. And he wants fellowship with us this morning. Hallelujah. I love my time of meditation. I just sit and think of God. I think God. Yesterday I was just thinking God. On the plane, I was thinking God. I was thinking God more when the plane was in the turbulence. I thought, oh, I'm thinking strong about God. Hallelujah. But thinking about God must be always a natural thing for you. Prayer should be like breathing. Hallelujah. Speak in tongues. Walk around. Hallelujah. You don't have to pray with your knowledge. That's why God says, just speak in tongues. I can hear you. It's a direct line to me. The devil doesn't know what you're talking about. Hallelujah. Jesus established a living fellowship with the Father, and I'm just going to give us the model of Jesus. He modeled it for us, the life of hearing and obeying at all times. John chapter 5, verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he hears the Father do. For whatever he does, the Father also does in like manner. John chapter 5, verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus taught us the model of meditation. Listen, he'll pray with the disciples and then he'll leave them and he'll go to a quiet place to hear God. You cannot pray when God's trying to, you cannot hear God when you're talking. God's trying to talk, everybody's talking. God says, I can't talk, everybody's talking. Give me instructions, give me this, that. That's why Jesus goes away into a quiet place and hears from God because he prays with the disciples, encouraging them to pray. And then he leaves them alone and he goes a distance away from them and he hears from God, spends time listening to the Father. Then he comes back and he says, okay, let's go. I've just got some instructions. Hallelujah. Church, that is the discipline. The discipline that will put you in a place where God will change you is a place, it is a discipline of meditation. We're just touching on one and there's four. There's 12. Hallelujah. And I'm going to teach and preach on this because it's good for us. We seem to get so caught up with the world that we forget some of the simplest things in life and walking with God. And one of them is meditation. You can meditate. Meditation is really good. Jesus always leaves his disciples. The priest Eli knew how to listen to God, and he helped the young Samuel to also hear God's word. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 to 18, you can read it at your own time. God taught Elijah a lesson in meditation. Elijah spent many days and nights learning to hear God's voice. And he was hearing it from the wrong places. And God just came by like a phew. It wasn't in the earthquake. It wasn't in the fire. It wasn't in the whirlwind. It was a still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. Church, stop everything. Start learning to stop everything. Just take some time off and listen to God. It's good for us. It breaks every ingrained sin inside our spirit today. The more you get to a place where God can work in you, the more those things are going to go away. When I got saved, there was habits in my life that were still there. I found it so hard to break it until I learned the disciplines. And I thought, wow, okay, all I have to do is just put myself in there. God's word is there to change us. It's powerful. Bible says he will watch over his word to fulfill it. And when we place ourselves in that place, he does it. Righteousness is actually placing yourself in the same place as God is. That's what righteousness is. It's not some holy thing where you wear and be pious, like, you know, wearing long robes and carry a cross around. That's not righteousness. Righteousness is just you and God, you placing yourself in the place where God can reach you and God can work in your life. We spoke about it a few times already. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate, it says, on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. God says, meditate. Read the book, meditate. Pray for 10 minutes, listen for 60 minutes. Hallelujah. Great disciplines. Start doing that in your life today. Hear it, go and do it. Start now, today. Turn the TV off. Jump in the car, unscrew the stereo, take, throw it out. Sell your stereo. Let God speak to you in the car. I like long drives because I just listen to God all day. Oh, hallelujah. God just drops things in my spirit. And then I'm running around for my pen to write it down. Note it down. Oh, this is good stuff. And then I go and build a sermon around it. That's how God speaks. God doesn't speak to you and tell you a story. God gives you a word. Just one word. And you go, wow, okay. This is powerful. Hallelujah. Let me close by saying this. Eastern meditation is an attempt to empty the mind. Kingdom meditation is an attempt to fill the mind with the things of God. What do you want to empty your mind for? Who are you going to fill it up? You empty your mind, you empty your mind and empty yourself, you're in trouble. Who is going to come and live in there? Hallelujah. Eastern meditation is an attempt to detach from the world. It's an emphasis on freeing oneself from this world and merging with the cosmic mind, hallelujah, free from the burdens of this world. That's Eastern meditation, church. Kingdom meditation, on the other hand, goes far beyond detachment. Yes, we want to detach from this world, but we want to attach ourselves to God. Detach from the world, attach yourself to God. If there's nothing to attach to, you are in trouble. God talks about the spirits, the man, the demon spirit possessed man was cleansed. The demon left him and went back and what? Brought seven more demons, more worse, because there was nothing good living inside of the man. That's Eastern meditation for you, my friends. Be careful. There is a danger of emptying yourself with the Eastern religion. Jesus spoke about that in the story of the man who had been emptied of evil but not filled with good. When the unclean spirit has gone out of the man, he goes and brings seven other unclean spirits, more evil than himself, and they enter the man and dwell there. The last state of that man became worse than the first. You read that story in Luke chapter 11, verse 24 to 26. Be careful of yoga, my friends. Hello, somebody. Be careful. Other forms of meditation that is not practiced in the Bible, including yoga, is dangerous. Because you empty yourself for other spirits to come and live inside. Unless you empty yourself and bring the spirit of the Holy Spirit inside of you, you are in danger. Don't be fooled for 1 minute. The devil disguises everything and looks really nice and normal. But there's a danger to that. So there's a difference between meditating the way God wants you to meditate or meditate the way the world meditates. I can't do that. The grace of God is free, unearned. We are expected to grow in grace and walk in the victory. We must pay the price of spiritual discipline. Church, that's the message this morning. Spiritual discipline is really important for us. Walk in it. Obey the word of God. Hear his word and then do it. Hallelujah. There's three places where people are. Which place are you in? Are you one of those guys or one of these people that are struggling with your willpower to overcome that ingrained sin? Or are you one of those people that are in that place where you say, oh, you know, grace has destroyed all the moral sin. I don't have to worry about that anymore, using grace as a license to sin. Or are you the disciplined one that is walking in that path of discipline, bringing all those wonderful gifts that God has already given us with his meditation, prayer, fasting, studying the word of God. Those four things come hand in hand together. This is the first discipline of our lives, church. Whoever becomes a Christian, whoever gives his or her life to God, always walk in those four disciplines brings us to a place where God can change you. Listen, praying over the altar doesn't change you. Because people get prayed here, they still go out and sin. Hello. But you yourself must make the choice inside your spirit. God, I am tired of this life. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of this ingrained sin. I'm going to put myself in the place where you can change me. And not just on Sunday mornings when you get prayed for, but every minute and every day of your life, walk in that place. Walk in the disciplines that God has already given us. Amen. Hallelujah. That's all this morning, church. It's a sobering message for us. Every now and then we must bring things like that to give us a bit of an electric shock in wake up. It's a wake up call. And you find that when you stay in a place of discipline, your prayers get answered really quickly. Things happen to you really quickly. Not in your quickly concept, in God's quickly concept. God's timing is really good for us. We must understand that, pray, and then listen to him. Listen to what he's talking to us as he's talking to us. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that we will make decisions today to get into a spiritual discipline where it will put you in our path, Father. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for each and every person here today. Father, we understand kingdom living. We understand who we are in Christ Jesus. Father, we know that there's ingrained sin in our lives. But Lord, only in a place where, Lord, as we place ourselves in a path where you can reach us, God. We thank you for each and every person here today. Father, I pray. I pray for each and every person here today. Thank you, God, that they will understand this message today, that this message has been received, Father, that, Lord, we will not only be hearers of this word, oh God, but we will be doers of this word, that we will do it. We will hear it, we will obey it, and we will do it. Father, I give you praise. I give you honor. I give you glory. Thank you for your wonderful presence. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.